one resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop. And then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop. Then I thought somebody was barbecuing. Barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Jesus, 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 it's a fire. Lord Jesus, it's a fire. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Welcome to the happiest podcast in the land. It's time for books, beers, and bullshit. I'm Frank.
And I'm Jeff.
And we got a really, really special episode for you folks this week.
Ooh, this is going to be a doozy.
We're going to switch it up a little bit this week, too. We normally do our books and our beer and our bullshit in that order, but we got to switch it up.
Yes, we are.
It is that special.
Going to be deplorable.
Despicable.
Oh, it's going to be hot.
We're going to be...
I'm moist just thinking about it.
This is going to be like point counterpoint this week.
It is. This is going to be a debate.
Yes, it is.
It's like a presidential debate.
We have this week for you a Disney book.
Ooh.
But not the type of Disney book that your mother would read you, was it?
No, not the type that I even would read again.
We're going to read, we're going to review, because we've already read, Leonard Kinsey's Our Kingdom of Dust.
Yeah, you need some dust.
Now, what happens is this book just lends itself to a whole lot of bullshit.
Exactamundo. It rolls on the bullshit factor, though.
So we're going to hold all that stuff off, and we're going to start off with a beer tasting. Ah, you know what? Fuck this. Everybody scream Cockney.
Blow me.
Fag.
Blow me.
Fag.
Blow me.
Fag.
Blow me.
Fag.
All right.
That was awesome, Cockney.
All right.
What
so,
a lot of bother.
What a lot of bother. Knock me up. So, what do we have on our scheduled event of beer tasting?
We have this week the Ass Kisser Smoked Porter.
A smoked porter?
Yeah.
Does it come with butts in it?
See more butts. It's not really the one we were looking for this week, but it works. It sounded awful. And we made reference to we smoked beer in our pilot episode.
Dang it.
Oh, dude, right. Tell us about the Ass Kisser that we might drink tonight.
All right, short and sweet. It's a stupid little brewery out in California.
Mm-hmm.
That does craft beer.
Oh, it's craft beer.
Everybody has to do a craft beer. We can't just make some beer. It's got to be a little, oh, I'm a craft beer. And you know what? Who really cares? It's a stupid craft beer from a stupid little factory in some stupid little town of San Jose, California.
The whole ass kisser thing, there's a little, you know.
They could just kiss my ass. Right. It should better be smoky.
It's a donkey-ass thing on the thing. Like, this is their thing. Give it to your boss or somebody to kiss their ass.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is so good, you're going to kiss the boss's ass this shit. With Smoky Porter.
Smoky Porter, baby.
All right. Well, if you insist, why don't we get into a little poor music and s'mores, pour the Smoky Porter with the Cockney and with a balder.
With a balder. You pour this stuff.
All right, a little poor music, please.
Pouring music. Bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash. Okay, so Jeffrey's going to whip out the S-Kisser Smoked Porter. It's in a porter pint. It's got a little donkey on it. It's in a purple label. And
looks very
it's very clever.
Wanker-ish.
It's, you know, a silhouette of a donkey with lip prints on its ass. So here goes Jeffrey. Popping open.
What was the price on this?
This stuff was
$8.99. Do you feel ripped off already?
I do. I'm betting on the smoked porter because we already discussed the smoked and sour beer in our pilot episode, and you know we didn't taste that live. So now we got a smoked beer in front of us, and we're gonna give it a live tasting. It's looks beery. Looks very dark brown, heady. Of course, Jeffrey's poured me a half a glass of head once again.
It's a porter, for fuck's sake.
It's a porter.
It's a porter, for fuck's sake.
All right, let's try the S-Kisser Porter Pounder.
You know, we could have talked Valley Girl.
We could have talked Valley Girl, because it's California.
California.
After I taste it, maybe I'll tell you a little bit about it. Sometimes you're just so smart.
Smart.
Okay. Here's to you.
It doesn't smell very smoky.
No. It smells chocolatey.
Well, don't all porters smell chocolatey in their own way?
I guess this is true. All right. Down the hatch. Oh, yeah. It's smoky. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh,
make it stop. Make it stop. Turn it off. Oh, my God. That is so smoky.
Smoky.
I wish it wasn't so smoky. Wow. It doesn't taste smoky.
No.
Right away.
No. It's
and then it like it's
smoke.
Like it's like this. That's how it comes up on you. It does. Yeah. It just.
It's yeah.
It's a Doppler effect of smokiness.
You know. We're going to have another sip.
Another
here.
Sip. That was roof. Yeah, smoking.
Oh. You know what it's like? It's like if you had a sip of beer, then like a couple drops of liquid smoke on your tongue to follow it up.
Yeah, I slapped that. What are we doing? Don't do it like fucking man. Cockney,
you know,
California.
Really, it's not good.
No, this
once
is not,
again,
gonna,
not good.
I'm not going to kiss my boss's ass.
You know, it's more drinkable than the Tour de 40 stuff. It's just like
this is
not
we're
right.
Back to beer again. It's smoky, and it's not like smoky like it's been sitting in a fire. You know when you had last smoked beer,
it tastes a little ashy at the end.
Yeah.
It's more like not like smoke. It's more like it should be ash.
Cindery.
Ash kisser.
Well, I don't know if you know this. The way to get the smoked, I did a little research. The way to get the smoke flavor in any smoked beer is that they smoke the hops or the malts, the malt barley or the malt wheat.
Right.
They actually like smoke that and then
like
put
the
it
smoker?
In. The, yeah. And then put it in the mix. And then that smoked flavor comes out of that when they brew it all up. All
right.
Oh, no, this is very bad.
You know, the aftertaste is really the killer.
That is what kills you. It's when it first hits. Yeah, when it first hits you, it's really just
like a porter. You know, it's like a nice dark
beer.
Yeah,
you don't taste the.
It's not very bitter. I think the smokiness takes the bitter out.
And the smoky is bad.
You know, as I drink it more and more,
it's less and less.
It tastes more and more like Kingsford.
I don't know what, like the charcoal?
Yeah, the charcoal. It kind of tastes like I drank a beer then licked a briquette.
Man, I wish we had some charcoal briquettes we could lick. Oh, God. This is not. Woo. Yeah. Listen about craft beer and smoking it. What the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah, really. I mean, enough with the smoky stuff. It's 8.03%.
Okay, so it's got the alcohol of a 40.
But it's 8.03%. 0.03.
Okay, so it's 0.03 more
than a 40.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
A great drink on the special ass-kissing days. Perfect for the boss. Are you fucking for... I'm going to fire your ass. If you gave this to me, I'm going to fire your ass.
This is a dumbass beer from a dumbass company with a dumbass bottle.
Yeah, and then I just paid $9 for this shit.
You know what?
That's
nobody,
a ripoff.
All of our listeners should not buy this.
Is
just
this
like
is?
Put them out of business.
You know
for
what this
such
is?
A nonsensical
I'm
going to
put
nonsense.
This against the Exit 8 tasting and say, I got rooked bigger on a dollar less on this ass-kisser than I paid the $10 for the Exit 8.
For the Exit
yeah.
8, yeah.
This is, no. And I'm supposed to, this,
you know,
my boss?
I'm not drinking first, no more of this.
You know, I get, yeah,
I've had
no,
quite enough.
For Siri. The bottle, it's like purple. The like, I get this feeling like it's for chicks, right? It's sort of like a chick marketed sort of a thing.
It's a cute little donkey
it's,
with a lipstick
yeah,
on
it's
its
definitely
ass.
Not like for dudes. And like,
dude, would you name like your car the Ass Kisser? Like
no.
The Ass Kisser Super V8?
Yeah, that's the other thing. What the fuck? What the fuck are they doing in California, Ass Kisser? Stop.
Well, they are a little.
All right.
Lord Jesus, there's a fire in this bottle.
I'll get some coal. Ass Kisser?
Ain't
nobody
got
time
for
that.
That.
Oh,
I
man.
Got up to get me a cold ass kisser.
Yeah, that's.
And I
that's,
said, "Oh Jesus, it's a fire."
Okay. So
at first, I thought someone was drinking some ass kisser Porter Pounder. Ain't nobody got time for that. Oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Hide your children. Hide your wives. You might as well hide your ass kisser because they're raping everybody up.
Everybody raped. Everybody got raped by that. My wallet got raped by that.
I don't think you'd get raped by this beer. You know what? I did get raped by this beer. I got raped. The little Indian made me on the counter. $9. Here's your rape. Next time I walk in this place, I'm just going to put this beer on the counter. I'm going to drop my pants. Drop my pants and tell Habib to just fuck me in the ass.
And he didn't even get to reach around. No one got time for that. All right, so.
So, if you'd like to get raped by beer, go ahead and buy yourself some Eskis or smoked porter.
Smoking.
But otherwise, ain't nobody got time for this beer.
No, absolutely not.
End of fucking story.
It's just stupid.
You know what? I would like
stupid.
I would love to get a recommendation from somebody who really believes in a good smoked beer. Because this is two now, and they've both been fucking disasters. Who are these people smoking beers?
You know, they should have put some bacon in there.
I bet you we can find bacon beer.
Well, that other one was bacony, soury, smoky.
Yeah, but I mean flat out bacon brew. There's got to be. There's fucking Bacon-A's and all that shit. End of story. Just stay away from the fucking ass kisser.
Yeah, he'll kiss your ass.
Yeah, we drank this shit.
So
you don't have to. Yeah, so it's time for books now, huh?
Yes,
books,
it is.
Books and the bullshit. You'll see how this all rolls out.
Yeah, it all comes together. Trust us.
It's going to be a lot of it's going to be a lot of Disney.
All right, so this book that we read this episode is Our Kingdom of Dust
by Leonard Kinsey.
Right, and what imprint is he on?
He's on Bamboo Press, which is, you know, obviously small press, and they actually are a company that posts, like, anarchist Disney type of books.
Oh,
they're
a niche just into Disney?
Extremely niche, yeah, and extremely, like, rebel Disney type of stuff. They actually have, if you're familiar with Epcot and Journey into Imagination, they had a character called Dreamfinder, who was a little purple dragon's, like, keeper guy, and the guy who originally played him when the park first opened just wrote a book about all his experiences with Disney, and it's, you know, a little not nearly as off-putting as Kinsey does, but, you know, of that ilk.
Right, I gotcha. And let's see, the paperback is going for $10.
$10
paperback. $10.91
right.
From Amazon.
Right.
And the Kindle is $4.
The Kindle is, $3.99. And also available on Smashwords for those of you that hate proprietary software, like us.
Yes, we hate
so
it.
So if you have a Nook or a Sony e-reader, go to Smashwords, get it there.
How much is it on Smashwords?
Same price, $3.99. And actually, here's the thing. Smashwords, the author gets 85% of the cost, whereas Kindle or say Barnes & Noble, they only get about 60%.
Right.
So whenever you can, you should try and buy off of Smashwords just for the author's benefit.
Leonard Kinsey was born in Clearwater, Florida, and went to Disney World a lot, and is all a Diz nerd.
Big time Diz nerd.
He has a whole little niche of doing stuff about Walt Disney World.
Yes, this is his second book. His first foray into fiction.
Yeah, his other one's a travel guide. So, the synopsis of this book.
Let's talk about our kingdom of dust.
It's a rich guy who gets rich and feels like an ass because all he did was work. And then he cashed out his company and tried to pay off his employees cheaply when he left. All of a sudden, he retreated back to go live in Disney World for whatever reason. I guess nostalgia.
To recapture his childhood.
And he meets a drug dealer and the evil Cinderella, and hilarity ensues.
Yeah, that's the short and curlies of it for sure. You'd have the main character Blaine McKinnon, and he is, like you said, he's a very well-to-do, wealthy. He ran his own company, and the gist of that was he had started really from like his early teens doing his own little companies and whatnot, and you know, by the time he was 20, he had actually formed a software company, computer repair company, that just took off, you know, at the right time, right place, right time. And he was a very young, well-to-do, wealthy entrepreneur, lost out on a lot of childhood, didn't have many friends, social miscreant. So by the time he hit 30, you know,
he was rich and a loner.
Exactly.
A recluse.
Right.
A rich recluse.
So as you said, he sold off the company and headed to Disney to try and recapture some of his lost youth.
All right. Let's get down to it.
Yeah, sir.
I'm not a big Walt Disney fan.
Right, and that's why we're reviewing this book, because right. I'm not going to call myself a Diz nerd, but I'm a very, you know, big fan of Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
So when I saw this book, I'd read his first book. When I saw this book, I'm like, man, you know, this would make a great review, because I'm coming from a positive viewpoint. A lot of experience with Disney, and I know you don't really have, you're not a big Disney guy, you don't have a lot of, I don't know exactly what your experience is with the parks.
I went once.
You went once, right. in your entire life.
Right, and I was like in fourth grade.
Right, so it's a distant memory, it's not a strong memory or anything like that. So you don't have...
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, you don't have that big, so I wanted to put this in front of you and see what your take was on it, because obviously this book is written for, like, with an appeal to Disney fanatics.
Right, so coming from an outsider, non-Disney point of view, I'd say it's written okay. I mean, for maybe like a first foray into fiction, you know, you're not going to say it was horribly written. You know, he's got some catching up to do, I would say. The plot was a little cheesy and contrived slightly.
Yeah, you got it. You do have to, like, point out he is not a writer by profession. I don't even think he was trained as a writer in, you know, any kind of college or anything. He just kind of happened to stumble into, with his original book, just something that worked, and he needed to follow up, and he decided to follow up with
a piece of fiction
based around that premise. And yeah, absolutely, this is you can tell.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when I was reading this book, it was written from somebody who is completely in love with Disney's. I wouldn't say he's completely in love with the park, but he's not completely in love with Disney the corporation.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That's probably pretty fair. He is a
so it might be a little bit of like a love hate thing going on in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love of all things Disney.
Well, one of the scenes early on, it's not a very long book point. It's only about 160 pages, 170 pages.
170 some pages.
It's not very long. Everything moves pretty quick. It's not a bore fest. The writing is amateurish, but it doesn't kill you.
Like, you're right. The writing was done well.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the plot and
the
direction of the book was just very cliche. You know,
you could tell he doesn't have his writing chops.
Right, and you could tell he's more of a Disney fan than a
writer.
Fan.
Yeah, he's not. He's a Disney fan writing a book, not a writer.
He's a
writing
Disney
a book
fan
about Disney.
Writing a book for other Disney fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And if you're not a Disney fan or indifferent,
well, that's where we're gonna try and get your point of view. When he starts, he heads down to the Magic Kingdom. He gets blasted on the plane, and he winds up drunk in the airport, and his limo driver winds up taking him in. Yeah,
he crashes at the limo driver's house.
Right, and his limo driver, Jay, winds up to be this like freak of a man who's just tattooed with Disney characters all over the place.
Yeah, all Disney characters. This whole house is like a Disney shrine.
Yeah, he's got just rooms and rooms full of memorabilia.
He's like a hoarder's special Disney edition.
So this limo driver like takes him in, doesn't bring him to his hotel where after he passes out. He had puked in the limo and he brought him to his own house. Just got him well again. He wakes up the next morning and he meets Jay, the limo driver. Then what he does is he sets up himself a room at the beach club, I think it's called.
Yeah.
The Yacht and Beach Club. Yeah. And it's an Epcot Center hotel. And as you come to find out, really, that Epcot is they're the main characters, like bread and butter. That's what he likes best is Epcot.
Yeah, he's a Epcot fan. First, Disney World.
Yeah, other second. Parks. Secondly, yeah, absolutely. So, and he can actually walk right into the park from his hotel. So he's like, you know, instant access. And one of the best, I think one of the funniest parts of the book, I'm sure we can talk about this a lot, is when he first walks in, once he finally gets into his hotel and everything, decides he's going to go walk into Epcot for the first time since he was a little boy. And he walks in and he fucking has a shit fit on like a global fucking scale.
Yeah. Because
he walks in and it's like his favorite ride is this ride that was called Horizons. And it was just like a little, you sit in a car and you see all these animatronic scenes of how life will be in the future. Right. Obviously, this happened in the 1980s and they took it out.
Right.
And it's been replaced with this thing called Mission Space, which I think is a really cool ride. You kind of get put into this like centrifuge thing and you're sitting in a cockpit and you get launched into space and from the thing spinning around, you know, you feel like the G's and all that. It's a really cool experience. All right, he slams it. But he's walking to the park and it's like, where's Horizons? They've replaced it with this monstrosity. And I freaked out and I ran over here and this is Universal Energy here, but with Ellen and Bill Nye the Science Guy, oh my God. And he's like running around the park. First of all, the way he describes it is like he's running like, you know, the park is set up in sort of a circle. And this guy's like not like running from ride to ride to ride in a circle. He's like running this way and then cross that way. Oh my God. And he's like completely freaking out and he's crying. I read this part. I was laughing my ass off because I was picturing myself, you know, sitting here with my family and all of a sudden this 30-year-old man just like Keystone Cops, you see him run, and then a minute later he comes running back the other way. And like it's funny to picture this guy running around freaking out. Nobody's reacting like that. It felt a little over the top, but it was kind of funny at the same time. Now,
yeah,
obviously that's his whole thing, is like he doesn't like the changes going on. And he
likes the old school stuff.
He likes
the newer stuff.
And he's freaking out. Now, outside of the complete overreaction, what's your take on kind of a thing?
What do you mean? Like,
just in general, like, should he, like, on any level be freaking out that his favorite ride is gone and all that shit?
No, I'm sure
the park has changed. You know, maybe they describe it, he was maybe 10 years old when he last visited the park with his parents.
In 20 years, you're pissed because it changed?
Because it changed.
No,
he gets all upset. At one point, they had this giant Mickey hand over the top of the giant ball.
Yeah.
And that irks him to no end.
Right. No, short and sweet.
Yeah.
I would be, maybe if like I wanted to, I recapture some childhood memories on the ride. Like, oh, I rode that when I was 8.
You know,
now all of a sudden I want to ride again.
Yeah. And it's just not there.
And it's just not there. I mean, well, it's just not there. Or, it sucks to be me, you know?
The guts of it are gone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It seems a little crybabyish or something. I couldn't put my...
But the character isn't mentally stable at that point to begin with.
Not necessarily, but as we find out sooner, he begins to meet through his limo driver friend Jay.
Right.
He meets the rest of the cast of characters. First, he meets Jay's girlfriend, who plays Snow White in the park. She's, you know, meets and greets with the kids as dressed up as Snow White. And she's tattooed up, not heavily like Jay head to toe, but she's got a lot of tattoos and she covers them up.
Yeah.
And they go
you can't work at Disney with tattoos. And they go into
extensive detail about how she covers them up and it's a real good job and that's, you know, important that she does it right. You know, from there, obviously, he's going to fall in love with this girl and he's got to deal with his limo driver buddy. Jay has a party
and
Blaine doesn't know what to expect. He just gets invited, dragged along. And then we meet a couple with a baby.
Who's just a blanket.
A towel. And there's one of my favorite characters, Teresa Skywalker.
Yes, who always dresses as Leia Skywalker.
Yeah, Leia Princess Skywalker. Leia. And in very revealing...
Yeah, outfits. The sheer white one from episode.
She looks four? Makes the actual like slave girl Leia in the movies look like a prude.
Right.
And we had Miss Nancy.
Miss Nancy.
She was a crazy old lady who walked around with tons and tons of
teddy bears,
and she hangs out in one of the hotel's lobbies and just sits there with the teddy bears. Now, those are the weird folk. We also had, was it Charles, the greeter?
Oh, yeah. He was like, this was funny because I envisioned him as kind of like the black kitchen guy from The Shining, where he talks to the kid and, you know, like.
It's just a nice just, old.
You got the shine on you. You
yeah,
know
yeah.
What I mean?
A little like, southern.
I'm not saying like he was a black guy in the book because obviously you can't tell.
I did actually envision him as a black guy for some reason. I don't know if it ever said it explicitly or it just came off that way, but absolutely.
I got the feeling he was like the voice of sanity or, you know, like the guy who's going to cut through the crap.
Right.
You know, like I remember when I was reading this book and I told you, it's like The Shining kind of like it was. I thought it was going to be more like a madness in like a elegant setting.
Right.
Not so much elegant.
And in a way it is. It is that. Yeah.
So it kind of had shades of it.
Yeah.
There. And I was like, oh, this guy's going to have like mind control powers and it's going to see, you know, I was waiting for it.
I didn't know if I was expecting supernatural, but yeah, that
you get my
The Shining. Yeah. That's a very dead on point about it all. So also at this party, we find out why the book is titled Our Kingdom of Dust.
Right.
Because Blaine stumbles upon all these wacky guests sniffing what appears to be, you know, on the surface like cocaine, kind of powder. They don't ever call it cocaine. They call it the dust.
The dust.
And it's not really cocaine. Like, it specifically says it's not cocaine. It's a weird mixture of things.
It has an evil ingredient.
It does. And then, as you said, Charles is there, and he's sort of the voice. You know, you have this
he's
gaggle.
A recovering dust.
He is. So God. He's like, he knows where it's all coming from, and he's trying to be the voice of reason. And you come to find out, like, these weirdos on the surface are just, you know, they got their problems too. And they're using the dust as an escape.
Right, to make them happy.
Right, and obviously they can't get off. And Charles is trying to warn them about it. So, yeah, they get hooked on the dust. Blaine gets hooked on Jay's girlfriend. And you can just imagine, like, the kind of crap that goes on from there, right?
Right. I definitely can't because, like, I read the book.
Right. He basically runs out of, like, the key ingredient, the key secret evil ingredient, as you say. So terrible, they can't even mention what it is.
No, and they never do.
Did that drive you
Spoiler
nuts?
Spoiler alert, they never tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Which it kind of brought me back to that other episode that we did with the dead babies in the capsules in like North Korea.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Chinese dead babies in the thing. I'm like, oh, he's gonna.
Maybe it was dead babies.
Why is
that?
He,
was my question for you. It's like, what did you envision the awful thing?
I envisioned it being dead babies just
They're
because
like, it's
we
so
we
terrible.
Did that,
like, I can't even say it out loud.
Article. Yeah, we did that article. So.
I was half expecting him. The best I could come up with was I was half expecting him to say it was Walt Disney's ashes.
Yeah, you know that was like my second guess. But towards the end, they were like, no, there's other dealers who are doing it.
I think he wanted to work. I think he wanted to like write something, and he just worked it up into something so vile that he could never name, so he just left it a mystery. What did you think as a non-Disney guy about the book?
I'll tell you exactly what I thought of it. It's just like reading, go on to like a Star Trek blog and read some of the fiction that the fans come up with. And you have a pretty good idea of what's going on.
You think
here.
This is just a...
This is strictly a Disney,
fan fiction.
Fan fiction. Straight up fan. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
And I can respect the guy. You know, I can respect the author
right.
for writing this book and doing a pretty good job with it. But it's still fan fiction. It's very fan Walt Disney. Fan of Walt Disney would like this book more than someone who cares not. It's exactly like if...
You had no problem following it, though.
No. I mean, no. You could read it.
Because he does get very specific, like, you know... Location-wise and whatnot, could you envision the
park?
The
yeah,
because
I was to the Magic Kingdom and I was to Epcot.
Yeah.
So as long as I stayed in those things and on the monorail,
right.
I could remember like the overall, even though it was probably 20 years ago,
sure. So like
I can still remember how Epcot went around and you had all the station, you know, like the different countries and crap. And I can still kind of remember the layout of Walt Disney World. So in my mind, I could still kind of envision how it all worked. Like, only because I was
gaps
there once.
But the gaps were filled. Like, you know what I'm saying? If this was a fictional, if it wasn't Walt Disney World, if it was just a fictional place.
Then you really don't,
still
you
sort
don't
of works.
Have, you don't have much of a story.
Well, let's say it's Disney World, but it was like fucking Ya-Ya Land.
Well, then
Wally World.
You know what? Then it's a complete piece of shit and no point in reading it at all.
So this story only works because it is a real place.
Right.
Based on real kind of stuff.
Right.
Even though the events are all fictional.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, because otherwise, what are you going to set it in Baltimore, like, well, The Wire, and, like...
It's just, like, a drug abuse love type of story.
Yeah, but nobody's going to, like...
Coming of age too late.
Nobody's going to spend money to read that.
No.
Because it's a contrived story. It's a fan story. I'm sorry. It's a good contrived fan story.
I'll give you this. The writing is weak, where if it weren't... If it was just a made-up place...
So you liked it because you love Disney, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
It has its place. I'm not saying it should be burnt and stricken from the Library of Congress.
No.
I'm just saying, like, if you're not a fan of Disney, there's no real point to it.
Yeah.
You could go get some real mystery or drug stuff that's much more harder and interesting than this. As for a wide audience, you know, unless you're, like, a 30-something who's into Disney,
yeah,
there's not much to keep you... You know, there's no reason you would ever pick this book up, is my point.
Right, okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we had I not... the bookstore...
Yeah, you never would have gave it a second glance
you
otherwise.
You wouldn't even have bothered looking at it.
Right.
You know, is it bad? I'm not going to say it's bad.
Yeah.
Is it going to... Are a lot of people going to relate to it? I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, that's pretty much how I feel about it. I mean, it's not...
I guess that's right, because, well, the way I related to a lot of it was, I know those places, and, this is so cool to, like, you know, read about things you've been to, you know what they are, you know the places, and, like, even the characters, you can relate to, like, chicks dressed up as, you know, Snow White, and, you forget that they're, you know, real people with lives that can be completely opposite of what they play.
The story itself doesn't, I don't think, carries the book. Walt Disney World and Epcot are characters in this book. They're as big a character as Jay or Semi-Hot Sandra,
right,
or, you know, those two parks are a character.
Absolutely.
So if you don't like those characters or don't care about those characters, the book's not for you.
Right, exactly. Well, I guess that's your best point, is if you're not some sort of Disney fan, you would never even pick this up off the shelf to give it a glance.
So tell me what you think, being you are a Disney fan, and
you
have been there, what, probably like 10 times, 15 times, 20 times?
Probably around 15 to 20, yeah.
Right, so you've been there enough.
Enough to know these things, and...
What did you think?
I liked it. Absolutely thought it was a little amateurish, but like I said, I enjoyed, like, relating to him, talking about, you know, places in the parks, hotels or whatnot. Even he had a little lizard pet biting his lip, and if you've been down there, any part of Florida, really, you know the geckos run down there like, you know, they're roaches. So, you know, that little thing he threw in, and I guess that's what it is, like, little things he threw in, and if you've been there, you can relate to it.
Exactly.
And that makes you relate to the story.
It sucks you in.
And it's a little... What's that, like, that frat fiction shit they talk about sometimes? Like, it's college-y kind of.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's a 30-year-old, but, you know, like, he missed his youth, so he acts a little younger than that, and it comes off as, like, part A.
Right.
I thought he was acting a little younger for his age there.
Which just about brings us, I guess, closes out the actual book review.
Yeah.
And we're going to roll right along.
Yeah, because there's more to talk about. That was our Kingdom of Dust. If you like Disney, if you're into Disney, you want a little...
Disney,
I guess, sort of the nice part of this, too, is it's as an adult, it sort of strips away that magic a little bit, or, like, reinvents that magic. You know, you're an adult. You don't see the places you do as a kid. So this sort of helps you see, like, things in a different light, in a more adult way, like the dark under things you wouldn't even think about that go on. So, yeah, if you're a Disney person, read the book. It's a fun read if you're into Disney. Like you said, if you're not a Disney guy, girl, less than casual, there's no reason for you to read the book.
Not at all. All right, so what were you saying? Frat boy humor.
Yeah.
Which was kind of could segue us right into his other book,
The Dark Side of Disney.
You know, he gives you the ins and outs. It's kind of like a travel guide for adults going to Disneyland.
Right.
Kind of like a guide for people who are taking kids there and still want to have, like, a nice vacation. Or maybe you've never been and you're an adult and you want to go with your girlfriend. Or your girlfriend,
like I just said,
has,
like,
a Disney fetish and, you know, you're going. And he gives you some
insider. You've gone a million times. The magic of the place is, you know, worn off. And you need... to find, you still like going there, but you need to find
you need some adult booze.
Yeah, you need a little adult fun at the place.
Right.
So this gives you little tips and tricks of having a little alternate fun at Disney.
Also in his first book, in the Kingdom, Our Kingdom of Dust, he has a lot of credits in the back.
He does.
And one of them was Draven Starr, who is
she's the cover model. Actually both of the books.
Right.
And on Dark Side of Disney, his first book, she shows up just wearing, like, some Daisy Dukes and a Mickey Mouse hat with an anarchy symbol on it and not much else.
Yeah. She's
holding
all,
a bottle of whiskey and a cigarette. Yo, yeah.
All,
and
all, you know, gothed out.
Yeah. I wouldn't even call it goth.
Punk rock.
Very punk. And on the Our Kingdom of Dust cover, she's dressed up like the sexiest Snow White you'll ever see in your life. She's got a Snow White dress on, you know, standard costume and everything. But, you know, she's there with her tats. She's not as, it's not as, like, vicious sexy as the first cover. But, you right. know, it's still naughty. You can still see the naughty there.
So, anyway, that totally, like, I never heard of her before.
No, neither have I.
And that totally, like, piqued my interest. And I said, doomdoll.com, huh? Let me go look.
That is her website.
That's her website. But first I went ahead and, no, I Googled her first, and yeah. I got her modeling page. And, you know, she's a model or whatever, and she goes, I don't do adult anymore.
Yeah.
So, of course, what's the first thing anybody has to do then?
Oh, you did porn?
Oh, I definitely went to go figure out what the hell she's in.
Yeah.
And it turns out she's, like, does, like, butt sex porn and stuff.
Well,
at least that was what I was, you could.
I guess she had butt sex. What I you got go from her porn is, like, she's tattooed up pretty good.
Right.
All up her arms, her back, on the back of her legs. Hands are tattooed. She's, you know, not sleeved, not covered head to toe, but she got tons of tats. And what I gathered from the stuff I found porno wise was that it's sort of like, it was like a fetish tattoo fetish sort of a company that only dealt with chicks that are tattooed up.
Well, the way I read into it was the label or whatever the production company she was signed with.
Yeah,
the owner of that is like a big anal sex like queen.
Oh, that could very well be.
And if you go on X-Hamster, search her on that, you could watch her have butt sex.
Wow. No, I saw, like I said, I found something with, like I said, it was like, it seemed like a tattoo fetish porno company, and it was just
She probably does other stuff, too, I mean. But.
And, I guess it's only fair to note that she does not do this type of thing any longer.
But she does.
Made that clear. She does nude photography.
Right. She wants to make amazing images.
Yeah, and she does. If you go to her page, man, there was a really good one at the Doom Doll where she was completely naked, and it's like a black and white photo, and her face is sort of like Mike Tyson painted up, like sort of this tribal gory thing.
Kind of zombie.
Yeah, zombie. Yeah, and it was really sexy, man. She's just completely nude and everything. It was a pretty like wild picture on top of it.
Right.
So it was artsy fartsy and sexy.
But then, you know, you look at some of her pictures on her blog from being at Epcot.
Yeah.
And she looks like a dirty, put away, driven hard and put away wet type of person.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a place like Disney, she's definitely standing out. I mean, she's going to stand out anywhere. She's got like two-tone hair, half blonde, half black. She's got, you know, her tattoos, she's all over the place and not easily covered up.
Right. She has a whole thing going on that you just can't hide.
Do you think she's sexy?
No.
You don't think she's sexy?
No.
No. Okay. What is it that you don't, just looks wise? Is it, because I sort of dig that
dirty
that
look?
Dirty girl, that like naughty girl look.
Right. And I could go with you on that, but seeing her day to day pictures, like, dude, you could put enough makeup on me and make me look hot.
Well, sure, but that's any model.
Right. So, no, like, totally, I'm not into it. I'm not digging that one.
That's fair.
That's something I would probably normally would like, but I'm just not digging it.
Yeah.
But
like, I'm running through her Instagram now, and there are pictures that look less than complimentary. She's very pasty.
Yeah.
She's very pasty. I think that's a little rough, but, you know, that's her deal. She's not looking to get tanner. But, I don't know, man. I think she's sexy. I think she's, adorable would be the word I use, but like
some pixie magic,
naughty adorable, yeah,
a little pixie-ish.
Yeah, she seems slight of stature.
Oh boy, hope my wife don't look at my my computer and see I was on a porn site, because you know she might she might break up with me.
That's so weird, a guy on a porn site.
Boy, what's the chances of that, right?
And my wife thinks I look at more porn than I actually do. I wish I looked at as much porn as she figures that I'm looking at. Yeah, but you know, it's the cool thing is, like, and like you said, there's pictures, a video of her running around Disney. They both, her and Kinsey, have to sneak themselves in the park at this point. You know, you say this is fan fiction and everything, but this has brought them a certain level of notoriety where...
Right, oh yeah, well, anything
when Kinsey
Disney,
does book appearance, any type of appearance, he comes out with a mask on his face because he can't show his face because Disney security is actually looking for him to keep him out of the park. They just don't want him in there.
Right, because he's a known
and
Disney exposer.
Right, and while Draven, I don't think they can explicitly keep from the park. I think they just like want to. So in the in one of the videos that's available on YouTube, you see her, they're sneaking her into the park. She's got like a babushka on her head, and she's in a wheelchair, really covered up. And once she's in, she's good. They pull off somewhere, and then she, you know, takes off all the costume and just runs around. I mean, she's on mistakes. She's got tattoos everywhere. She's running around in shorts.
Yeah.
Like I said, two-tone hair. She's unmistakable. But they have said that, you know, it's just to get her through the security. And when she's through there, she's just looking like herself. And she said there's been ride operators going, oh, I know you and you're great. Like, you know, the regular cast members,
right,
employees of Disney, like, definitely enjoy, like, the thing. I mean, they can't say it and everything, but I guess, you know, on an aside, they go, oh, I love you, you're great, and all that stuff.
Well, Disney's got to be, has to be insane with trying to protect their image.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be like lawyers on top of lawyers on top of lawyers on top of a couple more lawyers.
Well, they explained that aspect with writing the books. You know, they're like, Jesus, don't they sue you and everything? And he sort of said, like, they are able to get away with a lot of it because there's no such company as Disney. It's all these little, you know, Walt Disney World Entertainment, Walt Disney World Parks, Walt Disney World Films. It's all these little companies. There's no one big company known as Disney. So due to that and the way they word things and everything, they can't sue them outright about any of this. Of course, if you read, when you open up, I think both books have very
big disclaimers
about, you know, we don't endorse this kind of behavior and blah blah blah, you do this at your own risk. And
yeah, if you want to be banned
all
from the
kinds
park
of
for life,
yeah, it's a hell of a read in and of itself, the disclaimer. But it's not like overboard either. I mean, you're figuring for Disney, they get about 2 or 3 pages of a disclaimer, and it's apparently good enough because they keep going.
Right.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool to see the videos. We'll bring them up on YouTube. You can go. There's a Dark Side of Disney channel.
Right.
And there's cool videos of him going through the tunnels under Walt Disney World, sneaking in when he shouldn't be there. He sneaks through closed areas of Journey to Imagination that's closed off, and he's running around this dark place, and he gets caught. He tries to sneak into, like, VIP lounges. He runs through the backstage of Mexico and Epcot.
Right. He gets into all the back corners, all the off-limits stuff.
Yeah. There's also a video of him and Draven running around, showing how they sneak in liquor bottles in their socks, and they go to the stands and they get these, you know, frozen concoctions and make up their own things. It's really cool.
Right. Good insider information.
Right. If you've read the books, it's actually really cool to go and see some of the things he talks about. Even there's, you know, like his favorite rides gone. There's video of, you know, people put up video of these old rides that are no longer there. So, you know, in this day and age, those things are not totally lost. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is gone, but there's videos of it on YouTube, and you know, it's not completely lost as it maybe it once was years ago.
I can't believe Mr. Toad is gone.
He's gone, man.
Yeah, it's a small world is still cranking along.
You know, for as much as I've been there, I think I've only been on It's a Small World. No, I lie. I used to go that constantly as a teenager just to go on it because it was, you know, something so cheesy you just have to do it.
I guess so.
Yeah, it was like that.
Upset the little kids sitting next to you, your long hair and nonsense.
There's a ton of Disnerd sites, Imagineerding. There's a site called RetroDisneyWorld.com, and they got tons of people's, like, old family pictures of the old rides, the old looks of the park. So if you're ever feeling nostalgic and you want to go batshit crazy, running around like a lunatic, don't. Calm yourself down. Go to this website. You can check out the pictures of the place, like, as you remembered it fondly in your childhood heart.
Gotcha.
All right. So that's about all the bullshit I can think of as this. You got other bullshit you want to cover?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Back to Draven Star and her website. And her, send me some stuff and I'll send you an autographed picture. Send me some shit and I'll send you something.
Yeah, it's, you, like, can send her, like, what, $15 or something for a picture? She'll autograph it all up nice for you, whatnot.
Right. Or, you know, you could send her, like, some shoes, or she has an Amazon wish list.
Amazon wish list. You could send me money, or you could buy me these cool things, right?
What a way to make a living. But, you know,
I bet she clears off that wish list a lot.
I bet she does. What I think we should do is we should start our wish list.
That's a hell of an idea. The books, beer,
and BarnesandNoble.com. B&N, so people could buy us books.
We could publish that. Yeah, we could publish that publicly.
And then we could get them and we could review them.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And we could be media whores.
We already are.
But we could be bigger media whores.
Can you be bigger?
Our whoriness knows no bound.
I like it. We'll look into that idea.
Yes, that was my idea when I saw that. One other thing.
Yeah.
I'm a big zombie book fan.
Okay.
Am I or am I not?
You are indeed, sir.
Dude, I dig it.
Bigger than I, and I'm into them too.
Right. I just read The Return Man by V.M. Zito.
Okay.
I'm reading this book. It's not reading right.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what exactly was wrong, but something wasn't just sitting right with me when I was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to review the book. I'm not going to get into all that. But I'm reading it and something isn't right. And then the next thing you know, here's color spelt C-O-U-L-O-R.
C-O-L-O-U-R?
Yeah, like English.
There's a fucking U in it where there shouldn't be.
Yeah, what the fuck is that there? And then the same thing with like favor and flavor.
Uh-huh.
It all has these extra U's. And then I get to the tire, T-Y-R-E.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
And curb, K-E-R-B. Who the frig spells curb, K-E-R-B?
Do the English even do that?
I don't know. I have no idea, but that's just freaking retarded. That's like hooked on phonics.
That's bad copy editing.
Right. So I read the book, and it wasn't a bad book. Like, I'm not going to rank it. I'm just like, something's really friggin' weird.
Yeah.
And I end up at the back of the book, you know, the author's bio.
Right.
And it says he lives in Connecticut. And I'm like, what the hell? And then, like, the book is printed, you know, it has it, you know, printed here in the United States.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is up with this?
This was an e-book.
It was an e-book,
but
yeah.
It's available as a print.
As a print book. I actually saw the book in the bookstore before I bought it.
And grabbed it as an e-book.
Grabbed it as an e-book, even though it was the same frickin' price.
So it's like he's clearly a Brit, but he's trying to pass himself off as a genuine American.
Yeah, but it doesn't say, like, he was born in the UK. Or anything like that. It just, here's where I am.
And, wow. You know,
and I'm like, fucking really?
That's very odd.
Like, I got to dig more into this.
You definitely do.
I want to follow up on this.
Yeah.
We'll do a little follow up on it.
Yeah. Because there could be, I smell some tomfoolery.
Some tomfoolery. Uh-huh. That'll be.
Are you going to call shenanigans right now?
I'm calling shenanigans right now.
Dude, he just called shenanigans.
And here's another thing.
Yeah.
Anybody who writes about killing things with guns.
Yeah.
Should actually, like, shoot a gun.
Yeah. You should have fired one.
They fucking know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And you know what? Before you're allowed to write a book where you shoot something,
yeah,
a zombie or another person,
yeah,
I think you should have to go shoot something.
Yeah.
Go hunting and shoot.
Actually kill something.
And we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see what the reaction is. Because when you're shooting a 12 gauge at zombies,
yeah,
you're not really worrying about your shoulder hurting. You're not.
The
giant kickback. Oh my God, my shoulder just broke in half. I'm like, fucking really? Dude, it's like obvious you know nothing about nothing.
Right.
And that kind of shit pisses
me off.
So
he's a terrible writer.
I'm not going to say it was a good story.
Did you feel like reading that was like buying a $10 bottle of bad beer? Like you paid too much?
Yeah, I definitely felt like I paid too much.
Wow.
I'm not going to get into it.
Right.
You know, the book-wise, I'm just getting into my pet peeves.
Right.
Like, really, you're going to try to pass yourself off?
No research from a British guy who desperately wants to be American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh, it was just horrible. You know what? Don't buy this book.
I won't.
Don't buy The Return Man.
I won't.
BMZ. Get two thumbs down from the BB and P. And I'm officially done with zombie books for a while.
Are you?
I can't no more.
I tell you what. I
can't take it no more. Why? Do we have to review one next?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, it's worth noting that next episode, we're going to review a book called Dying Days by Armand Rosamilia. And here's
Armando
the kicker.
Alejandro.
Here's the kicker. Here's going to be, you're going to want to read one more zombie book. I promise it's short.
Yeah, I know,
but here's
the
kicker. You and I are going to interview this guy.
Are we?
Yes.
A live taped interview?
Yeah, man. It's going to be tight.
It is tight.
If you thought...
Is he American?
He is. As a matter of fact...
Has he killed in case things?
Our listeners don't have enough of the Jersey accent, in case you don't have enough of the Jersey accent...
The accentedness...
Armand Rosamilia, though he currently lives in Florida.
He's a Jersey boy.
So we're going to give you a little bit more Jersey accent.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. I guess we're going to be wrapping up here. So in addition to our author interview book review next episode. Next episode. I always say next week. That's terrible.
Is it really going to be next episode we're going to interview this guy?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Absolutely.
Bitchin'. All right.
Yeah. And I guess the other big news is we are now listed on Stitcher. Oh, are you blown away?
Oh, my God. On Stitcher?
On Stitcher.
We're listed on Stitcher?
Right.
So how would one go about reaching us on
Stitcher?
Well,
first you're going to need a smartphone or...
I don't have one. I only have a dumb phone.
Do you have an iPad?
No.
Do you have a car audio thing that's app capable?
No.
Oh, no. you're not going to be able to hear yourself. Oh, no, that's not true. You can always go to Stitcher.com.
All right.
and listen to yourself there. But then that's stupid because you could just go to booksbeerbullshit.podbean.com and listen to you directly.
Well, what if I wanted to go on to Stitcher.com?
You could.
What's our address at Stitcher?
There is no address at Stitcher. You just look us up. You search
Us up. You go to Stitcher.com and search Books, Beer, and Bullshit, and there we are.
Yeah, but that's really...
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
That's just... You're shooting yourself in the foot. This is a smartphone app. This is to listen to us on the go, all right?
When you're on the move?
When you're on the move, on
the
go.
So our one constant listener, Natalie, will be able to download it right onto her smartphone?
Stream it, dude. Even download.
We stream live.
We stream tape
to live streaming?
Tape to live streaming.
Awesome.
Via the intertubes.
Those intranets are getting out of hand.
They are. Oh, my goodness. The zombie apocalypse has started.
That's going to leave a mark.
Okay, so, yes, we are available on Stitcher now. For your iPhones, iPads, smartphones, and smart asses.
Smart asses.
Just insist on listening to it.
Or Draven's ass.
Yeah, so listen to us now on Stitcher. Just look us up.
On Stitcher, motherfucker.
And bullshit.
When you're out there. When you're out there, you just can't get enough.
Yeah.
Download.
There's more.
Stream, not download.
Stream us. On Stitcher.
Islands in the stream. That is what we are. No one in between.
Why do we sing bad 80s songs here?
How can we always make such high-pitched singing?
Dude, wait till we get to Slaughter. Okay. And also, after you listen to us... Please, dear God, go to Facebook.com, throw a slash after .com, and type in, without ever hitting the space bar, Books, Beers, and Bullshit Podcast.
Love us.
Yes, like it. Hit the like button when you get there.
Hit the like button. And, I love our listeners. We should have a call-in show.
We may get there yet.
You Skype in.
Yeah.
Call me on Skype.
We're going to add new technology. Remember, we're going to be Skyping.
We could go to our Facebook page.
Right.
And go Skype us now.
Yes. We might have to hit Twitter.
Oh, tweet us.
We might have to start a Twitter account.
We're going to tweet?
We might have to because we're really going media.
I
got to
upgrade my phone.
We're going to whore the fuck out.
Whore out.
You know what we're going to do?
Would
we're going to go on Amazon and we're going to start a wish list and put an iPhone right there on top.
Yes. Send me an iPhone so I can listen to myself. And I'll send you an autograph.
Yeah. Autograph beer, empty beer bottles.
Yes. I'll send you an autographed ass kisser beer bottle.
There you go.
It's a brown bottle. I'll get a nice silver Sharpie.
Yeah.
And I'll just autograph my name right up top.
That's sweet. That's a fair trade.
Jeff, Books, Beer, and Bullshit.
Right. You'll take care of the contract. All you need is the phone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, just the phone. Send me the phone.
There you go. In the end, this podcast is about being a whore.
Right. And hearing myself. And loving the sound of my own voice.
Right. All right.
I think that would be about it.
Get to us on Facebook. Get to us on Stitcher.
Episode 4, wrapping up.
Adios, motherfucker.